Welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. When it comes to closing the gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous health, a good news story is something to be celebrated. The New South Wales Aboriginal Immunisation Healthcare Worker Program is definitely a good news story. Dr. Frank Beard is a public health physician with the National Centre for Immunisation Research and Surveillance. He's also the co-author of research published today by the MJA, which details just how well the AIHCW program is working to reduce the gap in vaccination coverage rates in New South Wales. Frank is my special guest on the pod today. Can you tell me, Frank, what is the Aboriginal Immunisation Healthcare Worker Program, and why was it introduced in the first place?
Well, as we know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Australia have poorer health and higher disease rates across a range of indicators. Vaccine-preventable diseases, the rates in Indigenous children are several times higher for most diseases. And while the vaccination coverage rates have increased over time, there's been persistent problems with timeliness of vaccination. So Indigenous children tend to be vaccinated much later. They usually get vaccinated eventually, but not as timely. And that's a problem because rates of disease are higher at younger ages than Indigenous children. And disease can also be more severe the younger you are. So the New South Wales Aboriginal Immunisation Healthcare Worker Program is an innovative program looking to improve vaccination coverage and timeliness in Indigenous children in New South Wales. Came in 2012 and it's been funded since then at a cost of about $1.3 million a year. Mm-hmm. So the predominant component of it is 13 full-time equivalent positions of Aboriginal immunisation healthcare worker positions. So they're placed in public health units across the breadth of New South Wales.
And are those workers Indigenous themselves?
The vast majority of them are. That's the strong preference. There's been occasions where it's been difficult to recruit an Indigenous person to a part-time position, but certainly the vast majority of them are Indigenous. The idea of the role is not for them to actually vaccinate children. It's more to engage with their local communities and increase use of existing vaccination services.
So they're not actually nurses themselves, but they're out there to make sure that the parents know what's available and when.
So there's no formal qualification requirements. So some of the people in the positions have been nurses, but there's been a wide range. Main aim is to engage with the community. They send SMS messages to parents before their children are due for vaccination. They follow up with parents if their children are overdue. They'll engage with the GPs and other immunisation providers in their area to try and help them to follow up overdue Indigenous children, and also to help GPs with identifying Indigenous children in their practices, because we know that often not all Indigenous children are identified as such, and also to improve the general cultural safety of the practices. Then they also, in engaging with their community, they attend cultural events to promote immunisation. They go to childcare services, schools, preschools, trying to promote the importance of immunisation in their own role in the community.
The research you and your co-authors have written for the MJA presumably was designed to see what difference the program has made in the 4 years of your study. Tell us a little bit about the design of the study and then we'll move on to the major results.
So we used data from the Australian Immunisation Register from 2008 to 2016. So we calculated vaccination coverage rates for Indigenous children and non-Indigenous children for New South Wales compared to the rest of Australia at three milestone assessment ages. So 9 months for vaccines that are due at 6 months of age, 15 months for vaccines due at 12 months of age, and 51 months of age for vaccines due at 48 months of age. So for the usual national coverage reporting assessment milestones, longer out than that, so it's 12, 24 and 60 months. So we had used much tighter timeframes of 3 months after the vaccinations were due, which gives much greater emphasis on the timeliness of getting vaccinated. So then we calculated annual coverage estimates for proportion of children fully vaccinated at each of those milestones for Indigenous and non-Indigenous children in New South Wales and the rest of Australia. And then we also compared the periods before the New South Wales program came in 2012, so the pre-program period of 2008 to 2011 and the post-program period of 2012 to 2016, and then compared vaccination coverage rate and the gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous children in those two periods in New South Wales versus the rest of Australia.
I'm chatting today with Dr. Frank Beard from the National Centre for Immunisation Research and Surveillance. His co-authored research can be found at mja.com.au, where it is available open access. So what was the gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous coverage rates before the program was instituted?
Well, in New South Wales, the gap was, at 9 months of age, it was 6.6% in the pre-program period, and then that decreased to 3.7% in the post-program period. Mm-hmm. At the 15-month age milestone, it was 4.6 before the program came in and decreased to 2.2% after the program. And at the third milestone, 51 months of age, it decreased from 8.5 pre-program to 0.6. 1% at the end of the program. So in 2016, which was the last year of our study, the gap had decreased so much that there wasn't any statistically significant difference in coverage at any of those three milestones in New South Wales.
Fantastic. So, presumably because the Indigenous coverage rates have risen, not because the non-Indigenous coverage rates have dropped.
Yeah, so it's vaccination coverage has increased across the board over the whole period in Indigenous and non-Indigenous kids in New South Wales and the rest of Australia, but there's been a marked higher increase in Indigenous children.
Yes.
So in 2016, at the 51 months of age milestone in New South Wales, the Indigenous children actually had a higher, 1.8% higher vaccination coverage than the non-Indigenous children. And while we, in the rest of Australia, while the gap did decrease over the period as well, it was the decrease in the gap was much more pronounced in New South Wales.
So that seems to be pretty unequivocal that the program has worked or is working. What are the prospects for expanding the program, not just in New South Wales, but perhaps nationally?
Well, obviously, in Australia, we have a federal system, and all the states and territories run their own programs and systems. Mm-hmm. But we certainly think that these results show that, you know, committing a significant amount of funding to a dedicated program like this, which specifically targets the needs of Indigenous people by putting on Indigenous workers who, you know, understand their communities, engage with them in a culturally appropriate way, can really help to reduce some of those barriers that Indigenous people face in getting their children vaccinated on time. We know that Indigenous people support vaccination. There's very low rates of anti-vaccination beliefs amongst Indigenous people. It's more these logistic barriers to access to culturally appropriate services. So we think that this study shows that a program like this can have a significant impact on closing the gap, and so we'd encourage other states and territories to look at these findings and consider adopting programs of a similar nature.
Has there been a cost-effectiveness analysis done or a cost-benefit analysis done at any stage? I mean, obviously the investment is, I think you said $1.3 million, didn't you, per year. Presumably that results in big savings down the line, you know, in not having to treat kids with these diseases that are immunisable. Has there been any real detail done on the dollars and cents?
No, not to date, although I would note that it's not simply a matter of cost in a program like this. There's obviously significant equity issues in addressing this, and it's with the national COAG Closing the Gap initiative, there's a strong push to close these gaps across a range of health areas.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks very much, Bill.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.